Avichyadarshanam Shashvat
Saravalokanamaskritam
Shantam Vayasikaishore Vrityanugrahakataram Apichyadarshanam.
Very beautiful to see.
Shashvat,
eternal.
Saravaloka,
by all the inhabitants
of every planet.
Namakritam, worshipable.
Shantam,
situated.
Vayasi,
in youth.
Kaishore,
in boyhood.
Vritya,
upon his devotees.
Anugraha,
to bestow blessings.
Kataram,
eager. Translation. The Lord is eternally very beautiful, and he is worshipable by all the inhabitants of every planet. He is ever youthful and always eager to bestow his blessings upon his devotees. Purport. The word Sarva Loka Namaskritam means that he is worshipable by everyone on every planet. There are innumerable planets in the material world, and innumerable planets in the spiritual world as well. On each planet there are innumerable inhabitants who worship the Lord, for the Lord is worshipable by all but the impersonalists. The Supreme Lord is very beautiful. The word Shashvat is significant. It is not that he appears beautiful to the devotees, but is ultimately impersonal. Shashvat means ever-existing. That beauty is not temporary, it is ever-existing. He is always youthful. In the Brahma Samhita 533, it is also stated, Advaityam achutyam anadi manantarupam adyam purana purusham navayo manam cha. The original person is one without a second, yet he never appears old. He always appears as ever fresh, as a blooming youth. The Lord's facial expression always indicates that he is ready to show favor and benediction to the devotees. For the non-devotees, however, he is silent. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, although he acts equally to everyone, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because all living entities are his sons, he is especially inclined to those who engage in devotional service. The same fact is confirmed here. He is always anxious to show favor to the devotees, just as the devotees are always eager to render service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is also very eager to bestow benediction upon the pure devotees. So, many points are brought out. He's worshipable everywhere, means that all varieties of persons, no matter who they are, where they are, in all situations, then the Lord is worshipable. So here then we see in this verse that the beauty of the Lord is being brought out. So we can understand that the point is being made, yes, he is worshipable, he's God, so God must be worshipped. But the other aspect, because we see before these verses, his beauty, his attractiveness was being pointed out, that means on all planets, no matter what the species, he is still all attractive. It means whatever the species, they are attracted by the Lord. It doesn't matter. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, there is the element that, yes, God is worshipped because of his position. But then there's also the element that it's actually very nice to worship the Lord. It's very attractive. It's very natural. Right? So, not just that we worship the Lord because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what's good, that's what's right, that's what's correct. You know, that's the proper formula, proper religion. But it's that He Himself is very, very nice, very attractive. So whatever the planet, whatever the species of life, they all find the Lord attractive. Does that make sense? So it's important because, see, as there's the element we worship God because we're supposed to, but it doesn't mean that we want to. Right? You're supposed to take your medicine. It's good for you. It'll make you healthy. We want to be healthy, but we don't actually want to go through the process to be healthy. So, but it's something that we do. Right? Work. You know, we don't want to do it, but it's something you should do because when you do it, then so many benefits are there. Things stay in order and this and that. But if you could have all those benefits without working, then that's what we'd be looking for. Right? So then that mean, what would that mean? Where do we find that place in the material world? Basically the heavenly planets. You don't really have to work. You don't have to work for health. You know, you're going to look good. You know, everything's going to work nicely materially. Does that make sense? So that's what we're actually looking for. Otherwise, why is that the topmost thing available in the material world? But the point is that this is not just, so it's something you work for, but then you have to work in a relationship. Relationship means work. So if you're willing to work in the relationship, then you get so much benefit. But like what is said, you know, happiness in the mode of goodness is like poison in the beginning, nectar at the end. So therefore, working in a relationship because, you know, that's naturally how the relationship will give fruit, that doesn't taste very good in the beginning. If one is able to continue it, be steady in that, then it gives nice fruit. It gives nice result. One is very satisfied. Of course, if one has some material benefit one wants to get from the relationship, then at the beginning, then it seems to have it very nice. One has that drive, one has that enthusiasm. But later, as that drive is not there, the relationship then wanes. Right. So what we're pointing out here is that it's very nice. And not only that, then if we're going to work for it, it means something now we're willing to work because we can see the result now. And later on, if it's not good, then we'll deal with it then. But then the difficulty will come is that now if I'm going to work so hard for something, for a relationship, is it going to last? Right? Because that's always going to think, why work if it's not going to last? Right? We know that if we work hard in the beginning, then we get the results immediately, but it doesn't last. And so if I go through all the trouble of developing things properly, then will it last? Right? So there'll be that problem. Because in the other one, well, at least I got something. Because the other, I may work, I don't get anything. So here then it's established that it's eternal, shashvat. Not only is he attractive to everybody, but he's always like that. So this is a very important element because the relationship is actually inspired by attractiveness. Right? Means we may have attachment, we will go through the motions because of attachment. Action doesn't happen unless there is attachment. You're attached to something, you will act. But the point is whether you're inspired to act. Because, in other words, the attachment is kept alive by attractiveness. Attractiveness, if it's focused upon, will naturally turn into attachment. Attachment will mean endeavor. But the attractiveness is nourished by attachment. Things that means by attachment, we work. From that, we get a result. That result then becomes our next inspiration for further deepening of attachment, that therefore we work again. Does that make sense? So if attraction is not present, the attachment can wane. So that's what's happening. It's not new. It's not fresh. It's, you know, what happened to the old. You know, it's not exciting. These are all just different aspects of attractiveness or attraction. Different names, different aspects of the same thing. So it's being pointed out that the Lord is all attractive, is always attractive, His name is Krishna, because if that's there, everything else will happen. Does this make sense? Like that. So it's being pointed out that it will be eternal. Eternally, one can be attracted because that's the natural state. The Lord is so beautiful and so wonderful, His qualities. He's always ever fresh. So that means there's something always attractive. Right? So, this is the... Otherwise, then the problem is then of the impersonalists. Because the impersonalist, then he will feel that the things of the material world, we have attraction here. We endeavor for that, but then with time, the importance of it is lost. The inspiration is lost. We're not inspired anymore. So therefore, everything here is because of its temporary nature, then you can't unlimitedly provide that happiness. So therefore, one should not endeavor for any happiness here. But in doing that, I mean no relationships, no engagement of the senses, nothing. Because none of that can give the eternal platform. Well, Brahman means eternal. Then that platform, then one can always be, in their mind, happy. In theory, it sounds great. You know, if you are Brahma Jyoti. If you are Brahma Jyoti, don't worry, you will be happy eternally by being situated in the Brahma Jyoti. But if you're not Brahma Jyoti, if you're the Tathasta Shakti, then you have to be happy by either being under the internal potency or under the external potency. So technically speaking, it's not an option. Impersonalism is actually not an option for the living entity. But, you know, just like also not being God is not an option either, but we seem to be very enthusiastic about that. So then, since we can't be Bhagavan, then at least, you know, we can be Brahman, right? At least some way we can be God. But unfortunately, these options aren't actually open. So for the living entities then, the only actual real situation is that of being engaged in relationship. And because of the eternal nature of the soul, we want something to last. And for that to last, then we have to be connected to the Supreme, because He's the only one that does last. So Himself and whatever is connected to Him is eternal. So the only actual place the living entity can be situated is in an eternal relationship with the Lord. That's all. Other options actually aren't there. We bring them up as actual options. Material nature is temporary. That won't work. The Brahman, it may be eternal, but there's no interaction, so therefore there's no happiness for the living entity. Right? It's not an option for the living entity. Therefore, then the personal is the only thing, only option available. So then here, then so having established the position, the attractiveness, then the Lord is always willing or desires to be interactive. So if He desires to be interactive, that already means His attachment is there, right? Because we have established that action won't happen unless there's attachment. So if Krishna is active in, in relationship to the living entity, what does that mean? Means He's attached to the living entities. Right? He has affection. Problem is we're not reciprocating. We're the one that has the problem, not Him. Sometimes we think, I'm working so hard, where is He? He's not reciprocating. No, He's the one that's always reciprocating. We're the ones that tend to sometimes reciprocate, sometimes not. Right? So the problem's not with Him. The problem's with us. So if we have that understanding, He's always willing, right? But it says not with the impersonalists. He doesn't interact with the impersonal. Why? Because they don't interact with Him. Right? the impersonalist is a jiva just like everyone else. So in that way, there's no, we don't see any difference. So that way, he's equal to all. It means he's creating facility for all. He's creating the environment in which everybody could interact with him. But if you don't interact with him, how does he respond? Right? He's already made the first step. You have to respond for him to take another step. Right? He's already created everything. He's already made the shastras. He's already created the acharyas and the great personality. He's already made the devotional process. Right? He's already created everything for us to take advantage. Now it's a matter, we take a step, then he can reciprocate. Then how we deal with him from that reciprocation, he is the next reciprocation. Right? So he's already taken that step forward. So this is his natural inclination. Right? It says he's anxious. That means he's always wanting it to happen. Not that he's there and, you know, maybe, maybe not. The tendencies of Godhead, right? Godhead is stable, is steady, right? It's always there. That is his. That's what makes him Godhead. Is because he is always able to maintain a stableness and a steadiness in a relationship that's not going to go away. Now, having even said this to establish confidence and security and an interest in the direction, then one might say, but that could get boring. He's always there. He's always, you know, doing the right thing. Everything's perfect. So the form of it is nice. But, you know, it might get, you know, old, stale, or boring. Therefore, the term ever fresh. Even though the form is always there, even though the natural environment and activities that go on in devotional interaction are always stable, but it doesn't mean that it's not fresh. Right? The idea of a change is freshness. Right? It's not that we don't like form. Form gives us confidence. Form gives us security. You know what's going to happen. You know what the relationship is, how it's going to work. But the difficulty comes is then the form becomes boring. Right? Because the form is just carrying something. So in the beginning, when that newness is there, then always the mood is fresh. But once it becomes established, the freshness is gone. Right? As we mentioned, the attachment is there, the activities are there, but freshness is no longer there. So then the idea is, well, it can get boring, so you try something else. But Krishna being ever fresh, then there's always the attractive aspect. So even though one is established in attachment, one is established in the forms of interaction, there's always freshness. So there's always something new that is there. Right. Does that make sense? So newness is an experience. Newness doesn't have to be generated from a total change in the form. Even a subtle change in the form will make it work. It's just as long as there's something that's unique. Right. So in the modern, because this is not understood, then you have to make a very great change in what you're doing. But if we look at it, even this great change, we're at work, doing the same thing day in and day out, and then, hey, it's summertime, we'll go on a vacation, you know, let's go to someplace new, exotic, never been gone before. You know, of course, everybody else goes there, but it's someplace you've never been before, right? So then one thinks this is something new, different, fresh, you know, exciting, you know. But if you check, if you look into it, everybody does it. And every year, everybody does that. So it is still a ritual. You know, work, then vacation. Bhog tyag. Everybody's doing that. The problem is just when you run out of ideas for the change. Right? Everybody has to come back to the stability of one's natural lifestyle.
but one wants some difference. So there's a vacation or a change or moving or something is happening. But the point is that what is the freshness? It's not necessarily the new form, because that new form, if continued for long enough, also gets old and stale. Right? So it's not the form. The form is a medium, so therefore you change the forms, then you change the experience. Right? So Krishna, because of his fresh, ever freshness, therefore even the same forms are ever fresh. The experience of it is new. Right? There's always some slight change, some slight adjustment, but it's very subtle. But it doesn't matter because it's enough. Therefore, the Lord's pastimes, always the same pastimes, but there's some difference. Right? When they do the churning of the milk ocean, then in the Bhagavatam, then Garuda, the demigods carry the Mandara mountain, right? Of course. Then they drop it, squashes them. Lord has to bring them back to life. And then Garuda puts it in place. In other pastimes, they don't even bother with the demigods. Garuda just carries it in the first place. So there's always some variation. But more important than that form, the variation in that, even though it's eternal, it can go on eternally, is that the experience of it is ever fresh and is new, because that's what's important. The form is adjusted to adjust the experience. It makes sense? So that means one can be eternally attracted to the Lord. He never becomes any less attractive. Therefore, one's attachment to the Lord is always growing, always increasing. Therefore, one's interaction and engaging in devotional service is ever increasing and always constant. Right? But that's because of his position. So all we have to do is to agree to it and surrender to it. Actually have faith in it, that this will make me happy. My other arrangements, my trying to control everything else to create my own security is not actually going to work. It hasn't worked. Everybody has the idea it will work, therefore we get inspired. But if you actually check, no one has been successful. I mean, no one. But because every last living entity thinks that by their little adjustments it will be, therefore we're inspired. Right? You have a bunch of idiots, and all they do is stupid stuff, but because they associate with each other, they continue in their, you know, idiocracy. Newer and newer and fresher, you know, idiotness. Like that. But if you took them and put them into a group of priests that weren't so idiotic, they would see that what they're doing is stupid. You know? But the problem is because every living entity thinks by my trying to control things, I can actually make things work. I can generate my own security. But if you think about that even, why do we even think that that process will work? Because the material energy we have faith is going to respond in a particular way consistently. Does that make sense? So we are basing even our own endeavors on the consistency of Krishna's creation. So in other words, it's still based on Krishna, it's not on ourselves. Because whatever we do, it doesn't necessarily last or this and that. But we know the material energy responds in the same way. You do good, you get good. Right? You're nice, people will be nice to you. You know, different things. You put your money away, it'll be there. All these different things. So it has a consistency. The thing that throws it off, unfortunately, are the other living entities. Right. So, therefore, so cutting out other living entities, the impersonal, that doesn't work because we need the relationships, and that, so we're still avoiding the impersonal and depending upon the Supreme, but we're not doing it as a person. The Supreme as a person. Does that make sense? We're dealing with Krishna as Brahman here in the world. And, you know, impressed by the consistency. Though he doesn't necessarily do what we want. But the point is we're not responding to what has been done. You know what I'm saying? We're unable to see the relationship. So if that is seen, then we'll see that whatever we're looking for is actually there. And whatever we're doing now, all we have to do is connect it to the Lord. Because, you know, anyway, the living entity is acting according to their nature. They're dependent upon the Supreme, and they're interacting with the, the interactions of the Supreme. The problem is that because we're working on the platform of karma, then that's the only way Krishna can reciprocate with us. We do aspects according to karma, leaving him out of it. So therefore, it's simply based on our good and bad work, what we get. So he responds that way. You do good work, you get good. You do bad work, you get bad. So then, that's the way the things function. So now, if we reciprocate with him as a person, rather than just on the level of just his energy, then we get the devotional benefit. And that's so much greater than the material platform of karma. So much greater. Any questions on this? Comments? Yes. It's mentioned that Krishna is always attractive. Yes. Do you want to know what salon he goes to or something? Okay. What shop does he buy all his clothes from? Why are the demons not getting attracted? Well, let us ask. Why is a general devotee not getting attracted? Right? So whatever it is, the demons just have more of that. You understand? In other words, not being attracted, that's the demoniac nature. Does that make sense? Demon actually means just one who is basically unwilling to be God conscious. Not that he's not God conscious, he's unwilling. Right. So, therefore, we, in our conditioning, have an inherent unwillingness because we want to be the controller and the enjoyer. So that's actually his position. Because the controller, then he gets a particular amount of enjoyment because he controls in such a way that what he wants to happen happens. That makes him happy. Right? But the point is what is missed in the equation is the happiness of the one who is controlled is greater than the controller's happiness. That's what we miss. So we're giving up a much greater happiness for a lower happiness, right? On the transcendental platform. But it's not possible because we aren't God. So to taste the happiness he tastes is not actually possible for us because it's not our position. Our position is that we taste greater happiness than he tastes. Right? But when we try to taste his, because his taste is in tasting the spiritual nature, then that's not going to happen. Right? Krishna is not going to allow us to exploit the internal potency whose only interest is to please Krishna. They don't want to be exploited. So in the protection of his internal potency, therefore, the living entity can play with the external potency, which is unconscious, is dead matter. So therefore, dead matter doesn't really complain if you exploit it. Right? So then in that, we're trying to be the controller and enjoyer, and that determination, that's actually demoniac. Because seeing Krishna in everything, that's the devotional. That's the sura. Not willing to see, or even despite being pointed out and one is interested, that's asura, not sura, right? So the demoniac means they're committed to that non-devotional endeavor, right? Otherwise, then they're the innocents, right? So therefore, those who are innocent, we preach to, even though the activities look the same, the lifestyle may be the same. That's why we have to be able to distinguish. That's why the Madhyama can see, because they're seeing that actually Krishna consciousness is simply connecting to Krishna. And not being Krishna conscious means not being connected to Krishna. That's all. That's the only difference. It's not the form of it. Because if Krishna is everything, that means everything is already Krishna. It's already connected to Krishna. It's just a matter of us seeing that and acting within that. So it's not the specific activity. We tend to look at it from the external. Because of that, we think if the form is not right, therefore nothing else can be right. Right? And the form, of course, has to be the form that we're following. Right? If I'm into chanting, if others aren't chanting, they're in Maya. If I'm into book distribution, if others aren't doing that, they're in Maya. If I'm into deity worship, others aren't doing this, they're in Maya. Right? So that's the natural tendency. So, but the point is that whatever the position, if one is able to connect it to Krishna, then that's success. Right? So one has to, with that understanding, then one can preach to the innocent, because anyone, you can find some way to talk to them and then introduce Krishna, because if Krishna is everything, that means anything can be connected. Right? And I don't mean, you know, you have to artificially try. It's natural. Right? So, therefore, the example being, we've given before, is that Srila Prabhupada is talking to one very famous race car driver, professional race car driver. And so, because the form of his occupation is cars, therefore Prabhupada talks to him about cars. Actually, just a particular cars. He's English, so Prabhupada talks to him about old kind of like, what do you call it? Antique? No, what is it? Antique? Vintage cars. You know, and they're going on very nicely about this. So the man's very comfortable. Then he gets, but what's the actual point? Why do you drive a car? Or why do you race? It's not to just drive a car. It's the experience you get from driving a car. It's not the car. It's the experience you get from driving the car. So therefore, that experience, then Prabhupada, once the form is established, then he gets into the experience. Because the experience is what you can see the connection. Right? The form, then if it's, you know, you're offering an artik, that's obvious that form's connected to Krishna. But a car, it's not obvious. Right? So in other words, you drive it for Krishna, you don't drive it for Krishna, what's the difference? Right? Driving it for, means driving for Krishna by most devotee standards means you don't follow any of the rules in that, and hopefully as long as you don't get caught, then it's alright because it's for Krishna. Well, the normal people try to follow the rules like that, you know? You know, some of them don't, but you know what I'm saying? So, what's the difference? The devotees, it's the mentality, so it's not the car. That's where many devotees will get stuck in preaching, or even with dealing with other devotees, is because they take the form as the important thing. But it's not the form is the medium. So therefore the mentality, then he talks about the experience of driving. And then he says, within that, because then what is going to generate that? So when he's happy and, you know, everything's going well, he's going down the main straight and everything and no one's bothering him, or he's crossing the finish line, or he just, you know, went through the curves very wonderfully and got ahead of the other car, then in that he's not going to worry about God. Right? So then he takes where he will be. Fear. So when he's going that fast and going into the corners and into the various dangerous situations with other cars, is he not afraid? Right? So then Prabhupada asks him that. Is he fearful? So now you've established the form and all that, so then there's a commonality, because if you understand the form of what someone's talking about, then you feel they can understand the mood. So now he's has it. So now he says yes. And so then Prabhupada then asks, do you think of God? Right? So then from there, then they just go off in a conversation about God consciousness. Just straight God consciousness. So you didn't have to do any artificial, you know, kind of stuff. Does that make sense? You know, that, you know, the sun is coming, so therefore, you know, here comes the, you know, the light of the, you know, knowledge of the parampara, and so the song is actually about, you know, the relationship with the spiritual master. It's not. You know what I'm saying? So that's artificial. Without that, then that you're not going to get very far. It works with devotees, but it doesn't necessarily work with the karmis. If you took it, okay, why would we be interested in the sun coming up? What's so nice about it? It's the experience. Why is that? It illuminates a lightning. So therefore, that we can start talking about. That connects. You understand? So in other words, if we take it that the form is actually the thing, we can get a certain degree. But then we can preach to a certain degree, and we can acknowledge and accept other devotees to a certain degree. But if you can go beyond that, then not only can you preach more, but you'll actually appreciate devotees more. Right? So the demoniac simply means it's not connected to Krishna and they don't really want it to be. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why devotees have to understand this is actually the point. Then they'll be very careful about atheistic mentalities like rejecting the Veda or trying to, what do you call that? Where you reduce something spiritual down to something mundane. You know, saying what Prabhupada's activities, he didn't really know what he, you know, about material nature. Rationalize, yeah, different things like that. You wouldn't do that because it's atheistic. It's actually demoniac. But because devotees aren't making this distinction actually in the understanding of the philosophy, they tend towards these things without understanding. You know what I'm saying? So they can't actually distinguish what is demoniac. So therefore, saying that, you know, Prabhupada didn't know what he was doing, then that's considered, well, that's just an option. We're just looking at intellectual possibilities here. But that's not. That's demoniac. That's atheistic. Right? But at the same time is that, oh, we don't need to use this form because we're liberal, we're broad-minded. That's not, they've got it backwards. You know, it's not. You want to. The mentality is what makes it right or not. So you want to use a modern form, fine. But if your use of the modern form is from an atheistic mentality, how one will get devotional benefit? You know what I'm saying? If it's because, you know, Prabhupada didn't understand the time, place, and circumstance in the modern world, you know, he's transcendental, he's from, you know, the spiritual world, so how would he know here? So therefore, he doesn't really understand the pushing of the particular kind of dress or lifestyle. Doesn't really fit into this place, you know, which is so different like that. And so therefore, the intelligent man can understand as well. You take the essence of what Prabhupada's saying, you know, be devotional, chant, but these other things aren't really, you know, there, because it's nice, but it's not. This is all just atheism, pure atheism. And so if that's the reason, therefore, you wear karmi dress, eat karmi food, do karmi things, you know, and then claim it's devotional service, it's nowhere near devotional service. In fact, probably the demon situated, Bali Maharaj is on? Vital, I think. No, Sutal. He's on Sutal. They're probably better situated because at least they follow the Vedic culture and have faith in it and have faith in Guru and what, all these different things. They're situated, materially they're situated better, though they're still not getting the spiritual result, but at least they're getting a better material result. But here, we're not getting a good material result nor spiritual. That's worse. So, unless we can define like that, we won't be able to actually see how it's happening. You understand? That's why these subtleties are very important. Very important. Otherwise, nowadays the idea is, you know, anybody's opinion is valued, right? We say it in our courses. VTE said everybody's opinion is valid. No, everybody should have a right to question and ask. It doesn't mean their opinion is of any importance. Right? An opinion, it's not everybody's opinion. It's an opinion in connection with God consciousness or in pursuance of God consciousness. That's a value. But to say everyone's of that, that's actually atheism. Why should it be of value? If it's not in connection with God consciousness, why should we care? Right? If it's a question, I don't understand this, please explain it. I have these doubts. Arjuna had all kinds of doubts. Gita is just doubts. But it's not atheism. You understand? But these other things, we don't understand. It's just part of the culture. So without actually understanding the philosophy, we're establishing these things. So devotees need to avoid that because it's a science. You can't go against the science and get the result. You can't change the recipe. Well, it says here, one cup of flour, one pinch of salt. You know, I do that every day. I feel like one pinch of flour, you know, one cup of salt. You know, why not? You know, it's my life, you know, live it on the edge, you know, like that. You know. It doesn't work. You know, and you can say, well, no, but you should let them have their opinion. That's fine as long as the opinion has some meaning. You know? Because you won't do that. Oh, baby wants to take the knife and stab his brother with it, you know. You know, baby wants to push his brother off the roof. That's okay. You know, baby wants to stick his hand in the garbage disposal. You know, we won't let them do that. But that's his opinion. That's what he feels like. He feels that intensely. Why are you getting in the way of his experience? Because it's wrong. So therefore, right and wrong is judged in relation to God consciousness. Then the forms in that, then you see what's the purpose behind it. The intention may be right, but the form's wrong. Adjust the form. The form is right. The intention is wrong. Adjust the purpose. Does that make sense? Then you actually can do something. Otherwise, it'll be very external. Okay? So we'll end here. If anyone wants to stay, we'll do questions for a few minutes after. But right now, we'll end. Grantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jayanitai Gaura Premanandi.